Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And we were talking to our Chinese teacher earlier today, and it turns out that he's kind of tired and would like to have a little bit of a break from our program. He's sitting home right now playing with his phone.
Really?
With his legs kicked up on the sofa.
Honey, sometimes it's a girl. It's not always a guy.
Yeah, whoever our Chinese teacher is today, I'm not quite sure. But in any case, our Chinese teacher has the day off. So guess what? This is our all English lecture for today. And it's our news watch unit here.
Yeah.
As we're trying to keep cool from the hot summer here. Remember, we're going to be talking about something that we enjoyed as kids. That's Lego. If you've ever heard of that, I guess they're trying to get more green here. Not green in color,
right,
but more environmentally friendly.
Right.
And we're also going to talk about the physicist Stephen Hawking, who died back in March. Okay, so that's another news item we'll be discussing today. So, hey, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, and we'll be right back.
Lego starts making greener bricks. Lego, one of the world's most popular toys, is changing. The Lego Group has started making the plastic for its bricks from a renewable source. It's using polyethylene, made from sugar cane, rather than the plastic it has used since the 1960s, which is made from oil. Being made from plant-based plastic won't affect the quality of the final product.Lego's high production standards will ensure that the new bricks have the same properties as conventional plastic. The only difference will be that the new bricks are more environmentally friendly. They'll even be recyclable, though not biodegradable. For now, the only Lego made from polyethylene will be vegetation pieces. However, Lego plans to make all its bricks as well as packaging from sustainable materials.By 2030. As it makes 36 billion bricks a year, this will significantly reduce oil usage. What's more, all the energy the company has used since 2017 comes from renewable sources, thanks to large investments in wind farms. In this way, it hopes to help make playtime as beneficial to the planet as it is to the kids.
Famous physicist Stephen Hawking dies at 76. The world-famous physicist Stephen Hawking passed away in March this year. His theories include the concept that black holes can leak energy and fade away, which was previously thought impossible. He also noticed the similarity between how black holes grow and the early universe's expansion and wondered if this could potentially explain how the universe began.Although Hawking's father wanted him to study medicine, he majored in physics in university. During his college years, he became ill with motor neuron disease, which caused his muscles to gradually stop working. Later in life, he used a wheelchair to move and a computer to talk. However, this didn't stop him from studying the universe, having a family, or flying on a zero-gravity plane.Hawking also wrote popular science books, which helped bring him into pop culture. He appeared on TV shows, including The Simpsons, and the story of his life was portrayed in the 2014 film The Theory of Everything. His inspiring journey amazed people around the world and introduced them to the fascinating world of physics.
Okay, guys, we're going to start on the first story here. The headline reads, Lego starts making greener bricks. I guess I had always thought Lego was an American company, but it's not. Hmm. We found out from an earlier unit a couple years ago, we were talking about Lego, and I discovered that this company is actually from the country of Denmark. So...It's kind of cool that they're making greener bricks. It doesn't mean they're taking their plastic pieces and coloring most of them green. No. As Tom said, they're going to be more environmentally friendly. In fact, they've already started on this long-term plan they have for being very environmentally friendly, which is great.
Indeed. So, again, it's one of the most popular toys, Lego. You probably had them as kids here. And they started making the plastic for its bricks from a renewable source. We talk about renewable energy, which is basically energy that does not use petroleum or oil, because once you burn the oil or gasoline or petroleum, it's gone and it isn't coming back. Wind energy or solar power, those are considered renewable. There are other kinds of renewable energy as well, but they want to make the bricks from a renewable source, I guess from a source that is considered recyclable or biodegradable or something like that. It's using polyethylene made from sugarcane rather than the plastic it has used since the 1960s, which is made from oil. As you know, plastic is in all sorts of things. It's in the bottles that we use to drink every day. It's in your smartphone. It's in your cars. Everywhere. Plastic, of course, is made from petroleum, but they're going to start making this polyethylene from sugarcane, and that, of course, is quite common here in Taiwan. So, hey, maybe y'all can use the sugarcane grown in Taiwan to produce Lego bricks or something similar.
Maybe Taiwan is selling sugarcane to the Lego company, which would be awesome. We've got some great sugarcane here in Taiwan. So it says it's using this polyethylene made from sugarcane rather than or instead of, you could also say, instead of the plastic it has used since the 1960s, which is made from oil. So that's great news. It's amazing that they can make this sort of plastic from sugarcane. Wow, it's kind of crazy. So being made from plant-based plastic won't affect the quality of the final product. If something's plant-based, it comes from plants instead of inanimate or inorganic, I should say. Inorganic means not alive, inorganic material. So they're going to use plant-based plastic, but it says here, don't worry, if you're a big Lego fan, it's not going to hurt the quality of the final product. In fact, you probably can't tell the difference between the Legos made from the oil-based polyethylene and the sugarcane-based polyethylene.
Gee, it kind of sounds like you might be able to eat it, and it might taste kind of sweet.
Kids would love that, yeah.
Right, but it's probably not recommended. Of course, children can choke on small parts, so don't let them put these things in their mouths, Mom and Dad, don't do that. And Lego's high production standards will ensure that the new bricks have the same properties as conventional plastic. So, yes, they've got these high production standards. Production just refers to the process in which they produce things, the production process, the action of making or manufacturing things. Basically, that's what production is, when you produce things. So they have these standards, and they have the high standards, of course. So that will guarantee or ensure that the new bricks, the new building blocks, will have the same properties as the conventional plastic ones. So these are properties or characteristics, like how hard they are, how well they stick together when you're trying to make stuff with them. Mm-hmm. Those are the properties or characteristics. And conventional could also be described as traditional, the conventional or traditional plastic that they used in the past.
Yeah, conventional just means something that you've seen done before. It's generally done or generally believed or that most people in society agree with. Oh, he's a very conventional coach, meaning, you know, he doesn't try new things. He pretty much sticks to the basics of what you think a coach should teach or be like. But if someone's unconventional, they try new methods. The way that they behave is a little crazy sometimes, a little different, probably not as acceptable to the general public. But here, conventional just means, you know, the plastic we've all been used to all of these years for Lego. The only difference will be that the new bricks are more environmentally friendly, which I love. They'll even be recyclable. So you can recycle them and use that polyethylene again, some other object or whatever product is produced from the recycled materials, but it's not going to be biodegradable. If something's biodegradable, it means if it goes to a landfill, you know, that property where we take our trash and we bury it under the ground, if it's biodegradable over time, little organisms like bacteria can break it down. But if it's not biodegradable, it just means it stays in that same shape forever, like plastic bags.
Yes, or plastic bottles are recyclable, but they're not biodegradable, which is pretty bad if they're not biodegradable. But still, I guess this is a step in the right direction. They're recyclable, so if you collect them and send them to a recycling plant, they can be made into something else. Now, for now, the only Lego made from polyethylene will be vegetation pieces. You know, in the Lego sets, of course, you have like a house, maybe the White House, and then they'll always have these little pieces that are trees or bushes and stuff like that. That would be vegetation. So, yes, the only Lego pieces made now are those that are used or made from polyethylene. They're the vegetation pieces.
Vegetation just means plants. So, if you've got a lot of vegetation on your property, you have a lot of plants, trees included, right? So, however, Lego plans to make all its bricks as well as packaging. Packaging would be the boxes that Lego bricks come in. I never called them bricks. When I grew up, I just call them, where are my Legos?
Right.
Can we play with the Legos? So we would just add an S to Lego, and that's what we called them. But technically, they want us to call them Lego bricks.
Okay.
And not put an S on Lego, but that's what we do anyway.
Right.
Anyway, your bricks, your packaging, all of these things will be made from sustainable materials by 2030. If something's sustainable, we'll often see this word used when we talk about the environment. If something's sustainable, it means if you use it, you don't use it until there's nothing left. It means you can still keep getting at that source of whatever you're using. For example, a lot of people will only eat sustainable fish. If a fish is sustainable, it means they're usually using fish that are grown in fish farms by men or women, right? Instead of just fishing in the ocean where once you catch that fish, he's not there anymore and you're depleting or using all of the fish as you fish the oceans or rivers.
Yeah, basically the materials can be reused or replaced easily, and they want to do this by the year 2030.
Yeah.
As it makes 36 billion bricks a year, or because it makes so many bricks, this will significantly reduce oil usage. Significantly here, of course, is an adverb. The adjective is significant, which means it's extremely important. It's worth noting, it's something you should pay attention to. So it will significantly reduce. So it's modifying the verb reduce. You could say it will greatly reduce oil usage. They won't use oil so much. Usage just refers to when you use something.
What's more, all the energy the company has used since 2017 comes from renewable sources, which is awesome, thanks to large investments in wind farms. If you've seen those windmills, if you have several of those windmills together, they turn into a wind farm.
Hmm.
It's like you're farming wind. As we all know, we never run out of wind. It's always there. Some places have more wind than others. But if you invest in something, it means you're taking money and you're investing it into a company, maybe into property, maybe you buy another apartment, rent it out, but you're getting profit from that. So you end up making more money than the money that you originally invested or put into something.
That's the idea. So they've invested in these wind farms and they power their factories. And in this way, the company here, the Lego company, hopes to help make playtime as beneficial to the planet as it is to kids. So, yes, it's going to be beneficial. That means it can help the planet. It won't pollute the planet Earth, and we can live on for many, many years, and our kids can continue to play with Legos for centuries to come. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's take a little bit of a break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Our first story was about Legos starting to become greener, more environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Stephen Hawking now. He died at the age of 76 way back in March. So this is the title of our next news story. Famous physicist Stephen Hawking dies at 76. Notice there I had trouble saying the word physicist. That's even difficult for native speakers to say. Physicist. Physicist.
Physicist.
Yeah, that's a person who specializes in physics.
Yeah, not my favorite topic, I have to admit. I think I signed up for physics when I was a freshman in college. And after a couple of weeks, I thought, wow, this stuff is not for me. So I withdrew from the class. But a lot of people get excited about this stuff. Of course, Stephen Hawking certainly did. He died at 76, and some of you might think, wow, you know, he lived a long time. But you know what? He lived much longer than the doctors expected him to. So he had actually a very long life, considering he had a motor neuron disease. We'll talk about that. So he's the world-famous physicist, Stephen Hawking. He passed away in March. He's really famous because he wrote a book that was very, very popular. And he was just recently, his life at least, was portrayed in a film called The Theory of Everything. His theories include the concept that black holes can leak energy and fade away. It was his theory, his idea. He put that theory forward. If a theory is talked about or expressed, it just means an idea or your supposition. That's kind of a hard word. It's an idea of some sort of system, or it's a system of ideas together to explain something, but you have to prove it, right?
Mm.
So that's what scientists do. They come up with their own theory or hypothesis, and then they test it to see if it's true based on facts. So he thought, hey, you know what? Black holes leak energy and fade away, which was previously thought by other scientists to be impossible. So what he came up with, people were really surprised about, because in the past they thought, no, that's not true.
Yeah, they thought black holes basically suck up everything,
right,
and they just keep it there. But he's saying that actually they leak that energy somehow, and then they gradually fade away. And again, most scientists thought that was unlikely or impossible.
We should probably talk really quickly about leak. It's
leak,
a verb
yeah.
We don't use a lot. We use it sometimes when there's a heavy rain and maybe your roof starts leaking water. I was just going to say the Chinese, and I will not, because we only can speak English. Also, what leaks sometimes is a faucet. You know, when you hear it dripping, drip, 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 it's got a leak.
Right.
You need to tighten something so the water doesn't get out. So leak just means something to get out of something very slowly.
Yeah, our house leaks a little bit during typhoons. There's obviously something wrong with the roof there. But in any case, yes, black holes can leak that energy and they can fade away. He also noticed the similarity between how black holes grow and the early universe's expansion, and wondered if this could potentially explain how the universe began. So a similarity is just when things are kind of the same. There's a similarity there. They're not exactly the same. They're not 100% the same, but they're very similar, or they're very like each other. So yes, there's a similarity between how black holes grow and between how the expansion of the universe occurred, and he's wondering if this could explain how the universe began. So that's all kind of the deep stuff there with physics and stuff like that. But of course, we all know about the universe's expansion, which means it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And there was certain expansion at the beginning of the universe, and then there was a long time before galaxies actually formed and stuff like that. It's quite complicated. We don't have time to get into it here, but these are some of his theories here. And hopefully this will potentially explain the beginning of the universe. Potentially means it has the possibility of occurring in the future.
Right. I wanted to mention we use expansion a lot in business. Sometimes a business is growing really quickly. We talk about how the business is expanding, or their business expansion put them in a good way to be number one in the market. So business expansion. Yeah, although Hawking's father wanted him to study medicine and be a doctor, he majored in physics in university. When you go to college or university, you major in a particular area. What was your major in college, Tom?
Communications, broadcast, film production, stuff like that. That was,
my
broadcast.
Major. Mine was broadcast news with a minor in music. So your major is your primary field of study. And then some schools, I don't know if they do this in Taiwan, but we have minors as well in America. You take quite a few classes in your minor as well, but it's not your primary focus. So he majored in physics. I can tell you right now, anyone who majors in physics and graduates in physics has a very smart science brain. Physics is hard. So they might not be talented writers because that's a different skill or different part of your brain. But physics, wow, you have to really be smart in science and scientific field there to major in physics.
Right. Okay. But in any case, during his college years, he became ill or became sick with motor neuron disease, which caused his muscles to gradually stop working. So motor neuron disease is a series of diseases that involve the brain and the nerves in the body and the muscles and stuff like that. Basically, you lose the ability to control your muscles and they don't move eventually. There are all sorts of afflictions under the heading of motor neuron disease, like ALS is one of them.
Yeah, I heard he had ALS. Yeah, that's what I had
heard. Well, that would also be a motor neuron disease.
But usually those people with ALS last 2 to 3 years after diagnosis. So,
right. Yeah. And a lot of these I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to go into it. But there are all sorts of afflictions under the heading of motor neuron disease. So he was diagnosed with that during university. And, of course, he gradually lost the ability to control his muscles. Later in life, he used a wheelchair to move and a computer to talk. It was what we call a voice synthesizer.
Do you remember when that first happened? It was big news when he first got his computer that could help him, you know, speak his thoughts. So that was a big news story. Yeah. It got better and better over time because our technology became better.
Yeah, he still used the original voice, which sounds kind of primitive, but he liked it. He was used to it, and so he kept on using it. However, this didn't stop him from studying the universe, having a family, or flying on a zero-gravity plane. So he was able to accomplish these things, study the universe. He had some kids there, and they took him up in an airplane one time so he could fly away. I think he really liked that. It was really enjoyable for him. Mm. Now, Hawking also wrote popular science books, which helped bring him into pop culture. The book that he wrote that most people know about is The Brief History of Time, and he appeared on TV shows, including The Simpsons, which, of course, is a cartoon program, and the story of his life was portrayed in the 2014 film The Theory of Everything. What's that guy's name? Redmayne or something?
Redmayne,
like that?
Yeah. Eddie Redmayne. I like him.
He played him in that movie, and his inspiring journey amazed people around the world and introduced them to the fascinating world of physics. So here we're describing his journey or his career, his life, as being inspiring, which means when people learn about it, they are inspired, they get ideas, they think, hey, maybe I would like to become a physicist as well because of what Hawking did. So he's inspiring, and people, celebrities and people like that are inspiring people all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're describing his book as popular science book, because most science books are very dull, very boring, and aren't written very well. But his was very popular because people could actually understand a little bit more about what he was doing. He wrote about physics in a way that just common people could understand. You didn't have to be a science brain to understand what he had to say. And he was on TV and interviewed a lot, especially when I was younger. I remember him being interviewed. It was always very interesting because he used that little computer to speak. Yeah, you know, he probably didn't want to switch out the voice when something better came along because he had grown used to just that being his voice. So I understand that. If you know about The Simpsons, you know it's funny. It's a cartoon.
Homer Simpson, his son Bart, and Lisa's daughter. And is it Marge?
Marge.
The wife there with the big blue haircut. It's kind of fun. It used to be on TV here in Taiwan, but not so much anymore. But in any case, we should go back here and talk about some of these other concepts here. I did want to say that that book, A Brief History of Time, was supposed to be a book for the layman or the common person out there, but I still had difficulty understanding some of those concepts, like the speed of light and the theory of relativity and black holes and things like that. It was still quite difficult reading for me, but I did try to read that way back in the 1990s, so maybe I should try to read it again. Hmm. Did you ever try to read that book?
No, I'm not interested in that stuff. I have to be honest, it doesn't interest me, but maybe I should pick it up just to give it a shot, you know? Why not?
Okay, and also we did talk about the fact that he was flying in a zero-gravity plane. They do that when they train astronauts to go into space, so they get used to the idea of floating in space where they're not affected by gravity. And I believe what the plane does, it flies up really high and then it starts going downwards.
Oh.
So basically the people inside the plane are floating in the air as if they're in space.
I think they still use zero-gravity planes when they're shooting film sometimes where they want to, you know, pretend they're in outer space. It must have been a wonderful experience for him because, remember, he couldn't even move any part of his body. So to be kind of free for a minute or two would be pretty spectacular, I imagine. I would encourage everybody who's listening to check out the movie, The Theory of Everything. Yeah, Eddie Redmayne is a great actor. He's been nominated for a couple of awards, but he's amazing. And also, you get a look at what Stephen Hawking was as a young guy when his body was still healthy and hadn't failed him. So you can kind of see what he was like and his personality more to getting a look at the younger years. It's nice like that.
Right. And also, I think I saw somewhere on TV that actual flight in which Hawking was in that plane.
Yeah.
You can probably find a video that on YouTube. Just look for Stephen Hawking, zero gravity plane or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that video will likely show up. You can tell that he was having the time of his life there.
Cool.
There was a big smile on his face. And I think in interviews afterwards, he said that was one of the greatest moments of his life.
I bet. Yeah.
I can imagine if you're stuck in a wheelchair all your life, you haven't stood on your own 2 feet for, 50, 60
decades.
Years or something like that, and to suddenly be free like that, that's got to be an amazing experience for sure.
Yeah, and of course he did have a family too, so we could say he made the most of his time while he was here on Earth. A pretty amazing life. Famous physicist Stephen Hawking. I bet he inspired a lot of kids to then turn their interest towards science, especially physics. He made it popular. He made it cool, which it really hadn't been before Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I bet he's kind of responsible for some Hollywood movies like Gravity with Sandra Bullock.
Really? And George Clooney, yeah.
Yeah, and Interstellar, which was about going through a wormhole, actually.
Cool.
And going near a black hole, so I'm sure he inspired a lot of Hollywood movies as well.
Okay, guys, that's it for us today. We've got to wrap up. Thanks for joining us. We hope we didn't talk too quickly for you.
Well, it's supposed to be in all English. Yeah.
It is all English. But we'll be back again soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.